So the passage from Scripture is from the book of Daniel that we're going through in our sermon series, chapter 4. Now, it says in the bulletin 1 through 37. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do 1 through 3. And then the rest of it, maybe you can read when you get home, okay? Because it's just, I don't know if I can do all of that and still have any room left for the sermon. So here's verses 1 through 3. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. Here ends the text. Well, I'll say it again. Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
Past few weeks, we've been highlighting a biblical truth that with every blessing, there is a testing. And that's to see if we can handle what God wants to give us so that we can even be better able to be stewards of God's many blessings. First, we looked at the test of major change. Remember that week? Maybe it was a change in our health or a change in our finances, and that's a test spiritually for us. Then the next week we looked at the test of peer pressure, and especially our young people when they're being bullied, when things are happening that cause them to get very depressed. Who do you turn to? How do you deal with that? Then third, we looked at when our beliefs are belittled and we feel like we're left out. When we're sharing our faith and everybody's looking at us like, what planet are you living on? And then when we're asked to do the impossible and your boss wants it done right now. And how the tension can mount at the workplace and at school and other places. And then last Sunday, we looked at when the heat is on, the fiery furnace. And you remember how David Hembree winsomely came up here and spoke about a time in his life and their lives when he lost his job, didn't have any money, had nowhere to turn, didn't know what the future held for them, but he knew the Lord was with them. And the Lord saw them to a better place in faith. And so this Sunday, we want to look at another test. Maybe it's a test you never even ever thought of. And it's the test of success. And you ask yourself the question, can success be a test? Can success be a test? Well, consider this. Do you pray more when things are going great? Or do you pray more when you're down in bed with something wrong with you and you don't know what it is? You know, sometimes when things are going great, it's very easy in our pride to forget all about God and say, I'm going to buy the new RV, I'm going to get the new camper, I'm going to go spend my time away from God, and I'll see you hasta la vista in the fall, and we forget all about God because things are so great. We have the capacity, the resources to go out into the golf course and spend a great padded checking account and savings account and to retire gracefully, and we just kind of forget sometimes about God. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, but ne'er a word said she. But oh, the lessons I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Pleasure and success have ruined many a life. And in my 50 years of ministry, I would say beyond anything else, it's been success that has caused the most damage to people's souls and to their well-being in the people that I've been involved with and have counseled. Success has taken them away from God. Pleasure and success. In our text today, King Nebuchadnezzar was puffed up with success. He said, I said to myself, just look at this great city of Babylon that I have created. I, by my own power, have built this beautiful city for my glory. I built it to show my power, my might, my majesty, my glory, my, what are you hearing here? A little bit of ego trip? A little bit of gloating? Huh? Yeah, not so good when a president does that. I'm just saying, you put that, and so this is what happens. I'll tell you, human beings are the only animal God created. Well, you pat them on the back, and their head expands. I don't know how that works. So the pride that goes with success, the danger and the test of success. I want somebody to come up here this morning and share from his own life how success isn't always what it's cracked up to be, and how without humility and without the Lord by your side when you have success, it just doesn't go so good. I've asked Jeff Field to come forward and to share, as a businessman, some of the successes he's had and the challenges with that. Jeff, come on up.
Good morning. So Pastor Ed asked me to come and speak to you about highs and lows in business. For those that don't know, I've started businesses, I've lost businesses, I've been CEOs, I've been a director, and one thing I found when things were going great, I was working more, I didn't get to see my family, I was gone all the time, and there was one book that never came with me anywhere, that was the Bible. I flew all over the place, made deals, talked to everybody, and never once mentioned God or thank you. It was, how big can the next deal get? Where was the next dollars coming from? And how many millions was it going to be? About 6 years ago, God slapped me back into reality. I had a business that tanked at that point, and it was stupidity on my part for letting people guide me down a path that I didn't need to go down because it was all about the dollar. What I did was I sat down and had to reflect at that point of where I was going to go and what I was going to do in my life. And I had to take account of where things went awry. And so I started making a list of what I did then and what I should have done. And the one thing that was off that list that I came to realize pretty quickly was we stopped going to church. We stopped prayers. We stopped asking and looking for really the direction that we needed to go in. And so from that point on, I've really just spent the past few years not thinking about what the deal was, but what the deal eventually could be with everybody involved, meaning workers, people that are out in the fields, guys that I'm doing business with, and then choosing who I do business with based on what their beliefs are as well. So, you know, the bigger that you get, and what I have found, you know, I've talked to some guys that are still sitting up in Oval Offices, and what I found is there's a lot of talk about, okay, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but when the door closes, not that case. There's always two heads to that coin. So I really now focus exclusively on, it's even on my card and even on my business checks. We put Bible verses so that people know where we're coming from. They understand what we're doing, and if they don't believe that way, I'll turn down the deal. So it's not, you can't live your life based on how big you're going to get, because at one point, things will go south. The only way that you're ever prepared for going south is every day asking for repentance and asking them to show you the right way. And I've learned that the hard way. So, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. Is that easy to do? That's not easy. I really commend Jeff and David and those of you who come up here and share from your life experiences. The same thing that King Nebuchadnezzar faced. King Nebuchadnezzar faced an ever-growing syndrome of success, and his head was getting bigger. He thought it would never end. And then one day, like Jeff mentioned, it kind of all fell apart. For King Nebuchadnezzar, you see, he had a dream one night. And in that dream, and as you read chapter 4, you can read all about it, That dream, he could not understand it. Now, he had had other dreams, and he knew that Daniel, who was a king of the court of the magicians at the time, a man from Israel who believed in the true God, these are where the Magi came from. This is the whole thing. This is why the Magi knew about the coming Savior, because Daniel was at the head of it all back then in the Babylonian Empire. He was there, and he was summoned to the king to interpret the dream. And he told the king, you know what the dream is saying? You've got a problem. And you're the problem. Your head has gotten too big. You're boastful. You're arrogant. You're rude. You're just trumping over everybody else. It's not going to work. And so God is going to cause you to be brought low. You're going to lose your kingdom for a while. You're going to lose your sanity for a while. Your hair is going to be all matted down long and just greased up, and your nails are going to grow way out, and you're going to be groveling in the sewer. You'll be looking for food. Your clothes will be ragged. You'll be out of your mind. You'll be drooling. And everybody's going to point at you and be sorry for you. You'll lose touch with reality. And Daniel said to the king, but it doesn't need to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You can right now repent. And in humility come back to God and know that God is the one in charge of all your successes. It doesn't need to go that way. And the king said, thank you very much, Daniel. And the king thought about it and procrastinated and didn't do anything about it for months on end. Well, one day God came. And the king ended up losing the kingdom. The king ended up losing his mind. And then one day, something else happened. Let me just say this. You can expect to be tested in your successes. And it may be a business success. It may be a school success where you're acing everything out. You may be popular and that's your success. It may be that you've got a padded retirement account and you can go golfing and to Palm Springs anytime you want. And that's your success. Or your health issues have been arrested and you're back to square one and you're great. And that could be your success. But King Nebuchadnezzar had a major CEO burnout. The most powerful man in the world is now groping around, drooling on himself like an animal. He's out of touch with reality and unreasonable. And let's just say this, that as we face the test of success, and who isn't successful in this country, we have two choices. We either pass the test and God will reward us with even more success, or we fail the test and God will take what we had away from us. So for a Christian, how do we pass the test of success? In the sermon notes, I have some information there, and I'll give you the answers right now. Look up, wake up, and speak up. Look up, wake up, and speak up. Let's start out with look up to God. The Bible in Daniel 4 says, at this time, after this time had passed, when he had lost his mind, I, Nebuchadnezzar, he's given this testimony. This chapter is essentially Nebuchadnezzar's testimony after he regained clarity. Looked up to heaven, and my sanity returned. Now, literally in the Hebrew, it says, I lifted up my eyes to heaven. Is that what some of us need to do today? It may be as simple as that. You're in a heap of trouble right now. You're in a mess. You're going the wrong way. And you've looked to everything else, and you've looked to everyone else, and you've sought advice from your husband, and you've sought advice from your wife, and you've sought advice from your business associates. But it hasn't worked. And you don't know where to go, and the time is to refocus on God. Let Him be the center of your life. And instead of in pride with your success, in humility, come before God and say, I need to lay flat on my back for a while if that's what it takes, so I see only you, Lord. So that's the first thing. You look up to God. Then the second thing is, you wake up. In chapter 34, Nebuchadnezzar says, my sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever. When you focus on God's greatness, that's called worship. You get your focus off yourself, off your deals, off your business, off your activities, and you focus on God. Remember how one time in your life, you were so close to God? Do you remember that moment when you were closest to Him? That moment when you said, you know, Lord, there's nothing more important in my life than You. And I'm going to dedicate my life, and I'm going to be with You. I'm going to worship every Sunday. I'm going to go to Bible class or in a small group. I'm going to be with the men or the women. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to help the body of Christ grow. I'm going to edify them. I'm going to be part of it. I don't want to miss a single thing. And then it became 1 hour for God and 167 hours for everything else. What happened? What changed? Some of us think coming to church once a month is fine. Once every other week, because we have other things to do and other places to go that are more important than communing with the brothers and sisters in Christ, edifying them and worshiping God. If something is more important and something is better than us coming together in worship, would you come and tell me what it is so I can go too? I'd love to do that if something is better than this. Because you see, the one thing I always think about, what if on the Sunday that I'm not here, that is the very Sunday when God wants to speak to my heart in a way that's going to improve my life tremendously? I don't want to miss out on what God has to say. So I want you to write this down, or at least commit it to memory. We get better when we replace pride with praise. Pride comes before the fall. And when you're successful, and we're all successful, it's very easy to get a little bit of pride put in there. Let me just put this in perspective for you. Your greatest test in life may not be when you lose your job. It may be when you get a raise. Your biggest test in life may not be when you get into debt, but when you get a raise. Your greatest test in life may not be when you lose a close relationship, but when you become popular. What will it take to regain that first love? What will it take for us to be neither, not lukewarm, but either hot or cold for the Lord? The king looked up to God. Then he woke up to his greatness. Who's in control? God is God, and he's not God. And he worships the true God. A conversion by the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, became a follower of the Most High God. And then he woke up, he looked up, and then he spoke up about his recovery. He told others how God had saved him and changed him. Listen to this. King Nebuchadnezzar sent a letter to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. That's pretty much. He was on CNN or Fox. May you prosper. I want to tell you all about the wonderful miracles that God has done for me. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? He's the God who has made you in His image. He's the God who loved you so much that He made you unique. You're not like anybody else. God makes no clones of you. And He made you the way you're supposed to be, with your specific spiritual gift mix, your own personality, your own temperament, your own experiences, so you can singly serve Him in a unique way. And that's your purpose in life. It's not your vocation. It's not your business. It's not your retirement. Serving Him in your own unique way that you discover and discern by the power of the Holy Spirit. He came to you and to me while we were broken. And he came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, his only son, who broke himself on the cross for our sins and died for them and rose again and ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit so we may retain the faith and grow in faith. And in those moments when we are succeeding, we may in humility thank God for whatever little success we have, because it may serve to advance the kingdom. And he's with us today and forever. He has given us the key to heaven. He has made us a saint. He's made us as one of his children who will live with him by God's grace through faith forever and ever and ever. Christ has made you everything you are. So who are we telling about this? How can we say, I don't talk about religion? How can we say, I get embarrassed to speak about my faith with people that will probably argue with me? You know, that's nothing but pride. That's just another way of having pride. What do you care what they think? Shouldn't we care what God thinks? If we're ashamed to speak out of him to others, maybe he'll be ashamed of us that day when we walk into heaven. We need to think this through. And some of us need to get back to our first love. And God is there. God has never left us. No matter how far we've drifted away, no matter what we've done, no matter what we've said, God has never left us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We may run away from God, but God will never run away from us. He's the hound dog of heaven, and he's sniffing us out today, and he wants us in humility to come back to him, come back to his altar, come back to communion, and have him part of our life, all of our life. Because the whole test of success is all about humbling ourselves before God and proclaiming God is God and I'm not. And if we remember that, whether we're on cloud nine or whether we're in a bed of pain, it'll keep us stable and humble and will help us from falling. And we won't forget God. So how about if we pray about this? And we'll do a King Nebuchadnezzar prayer today. This is what a King Nebuchadnezzar prayer is. We say, God, I don't want to get complacent and comfortable in my life. I do not. I want to pay attention to the warning signs, like Jeff mentioned, and stop putting off what I know is right to do. I don't want to procrastinate over this. I want to humble myself before you today. And if this is your first time that you've ever done this, why don't you say in your heart, God, for the first time, I'm looking up to you. I've looked to myself, everybody else, for the solution. But say today, I'm looking, God, to you. I'm sorry for the times I've acted like a fool. You know what's best and I don't. And you say, God, I want to wake up to your greatness. I want to start worshiping you. I want to focus on you every day. Not my problems, not my pain, not even my successes. I want to replace pride in my life with praise. And I want to stop focusing on me and focus on you. I want to commit myself to being at worship. Can we do that? Let's rise and join together in prayer. And so, Heavenly Father, just forgive us for worrying about the approval of others. Help us to see your approval is all that really matters. Help us to remember you're bigger than any problem that I'm going to face. Help us to trust you, because we believe that you never make any mistakes. You're always true, just, loving, and right. And you sent your son Jesus into this world to prove it. And then help me tell others. Forgive me my shyness, my cowardice, and my embarrassment. And Heavenly Father, today we also come before you recognizing how important your word is, especially when tragedy strikes. We ask you to be with those that we lift up in prayer before you, those in our bulletin, those on our hearts, as we silently pray them in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.